Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, the Bhumi Gita. And we have a bunch of verses all together here. So we'll just read them all together. This is texts 9 through 13. Ready, set? Pituhu Purarabha Gadhi Nahashu Bharato Junaha Mandata Sagaro Rama Katvango dhunduhu haragu Chinabindur yayatischa Sarayati shantanur gadra Brema valasya Kukusko naishado nrida Ranyakashipu rito Ravana loka ravana Namuchi sambaro bhama Hiranyakshoka Karataha Anicca Bhavo Dhaika Rajanurye Maheshwara Sarve Sarva Dhihat Shurha Sarve Sarva Chitojitaha Mamatam Maya Arakatanta Kripo Charmakta Dharmina Katava Shesha Kaina So we will just translation. Would anyone like to repeat? Let me just do the first verse.
Do the first verse?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sing it.
Mahusho Bharato Juna
Mandata Sagaro Rama
Mandata Sagaro Rama
Katvango Dunduha Katvango Dunduha Rahu
Katvango Dunduha Rahu. Somebody else? Translation, purport. Such kings as Pitu, Pururava, Gadhi, Nahusha, Bharata, Karat, Virya, Arjuna, Mandhata, Sagara, Rama, Katbanga, Dunduhuha, Raghu, Chinbindu, Yayati, Saryati, Shantanu, Gaya, Bhagirath, Kuvalayashva, Kukuchta, Naishagya, Nriga, Hiranyakashipu, Britta, Ravana, who made the whole world lament, Namuchi, Shambhara, Bhoma, Hiranyaksha, and Taraka, as well as many other demons and kings who possessed great powers of control over others, were all full of knowledge, heroic, all-conquering, and unconquerable. Nevertheless, O Almighty Lord, although they lived their lives intensely trying to possess me, these kings were subject to the passage of time, which reduced them all to mere historical accounts. None of them could permanently establish their rule. Report. According to Srila Sridhara Swami, and as confirmed by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the king Ram mentioned here is not the incarnation of Godhead Ramachandra. Prithvi Maharaj is understood to be an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who completely exhibited the characteristics of an earthly king, claiming proprietorship over the entire earth. A saintly king like Prithvi Maharaj, however, controls the earth on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas a demon such as Hiranyakashipu or Ravana tries to exploit the earth for his personal sense gratification. Nevertheless, both saintly kings and demons must leave the earth. In this way, their political supremacy is ultimately neutralized by the force of time. Modern political leaders cannot even temporarily control the entire earth, nor are their opulences and intelligence unlimited. Possessing hopelessly fragmented power, enjoying a minuscule lifespan, and lacking deep existential intelligence, modern leaders inevitably are symbols of frustration and misdirected ambition. So this is our mother speaking to us, so we should listen carefully. She always has something good to say, right? So this is Mother Earth describing some of the good kings, some of the bad kings, so many things, so many different people trying to possess and control her, but that they're all very impermanent. And in time, they will be simply history. And the same with us. So this point has been driven home very hard throughout last chapter also. I remember Tamahar had a very similar verse in the last chapter about how temporary we are and how insignificant we are. So this is something we need to hear over and over and over again. And so the Srimad Bhagavatam is excellent at doing that. And so we should take it deeply within our hearts that we are not God's gift to the planet, nor are we God's gift to our country or even our county or even our Girl Scout club, whatever it is. We are not the Lord and great Lord of God's gift to everything. So this is something that is ingrained within us, unfortunately. But we see here that we are simply insignificant, tiny little fragments of the Supreme Lord, temporarily here. And even, as Prabhupada said, the pauper is proud of his penny. And we're so, somehow or other, we get proud over our different positions that we have, even if we're simply the street sweeper. So every once in a while, we need a reality check. And if you ever need that check, somewhere where there's a lot of people, like Kumbh Mela, where you're like, there's so many millions of people. I've been there, and it's like, who am I? You know, look at all these great saints and sages, and so many just people. Even just go to people where they're on their in the streets, like in India, where people actually walk on streets. Here, you don't see anybody. They're in the mall or in their car in their home, one of the three. And we go to places like Tokyo or places where there's millions of people. And you're walking around thinking, who the heck am I? You know, look at all these people. They all have their own problems, and they're all devotees of Krishna, really, and very insignificant. So it's healthy sometimes to become, in the, that position where you see how small we are and how powerless we are. Here's describing how powerful that some of these personalities are, but in the end, it's all taken away. And we can see, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur in one of his songs, he says, "Now I'm humbled by old age." So many of us are realizing that we are powerless, even over maybe our bladder, or maybe we're powerless over our mind, our senses, and we have less and less control of them as we're getting old. So it's very humbling. The truth can hurt. If you understand that you're not this body, then it's not so painful. But it's also very healthy to realize that we're ultimately, like it says here, we're going to be kicked out. Soon we'll be banished from this earth and realize that we're not the cat's pajamas. So this is a lesson that we need to hear again and again. I was recently reading in the fifth canto that the personality who is responsible for this false conception is who? Who's in charge of that? Anantashish. Shankarshan is responsible for this great power we have of thinking that we're something that we're not. So maybe we should pray to him to release us from this grip that makes us so covered over. And we actually think that we're on a stage all the time, that I want to be in the spotlight. But especially some of these kings, they're very much covered over. You can imagine with such grandeur all around them and so much fame and glory, the same old story. But it can be erased, and it needs to be erased. But we are in darkness because of this, different layers of darkness, and therefore we think that we're somebody. Although we're a nobody, we do have a body, we're no body, but in that body, we are somebody. And that somebody is simply a servant of the servant of the servant. So it might be a little depressing to hear how insignificant we are all the time and how little we are. But in the Bhagavad Gita, it says that actually the soul is the most amazing thing. Amazing. Yesterday I was preaching at the campus and I was touching people on the arm saying, "Can you feel that?" And they said, "Yes." I said, "That means that you're a soul there, you know, that you're actually, it's making you conscious. So otherwise you'd be, you know, a bunch of chemicals worth $30 or something like that, 40 with inflation maybe." And so I said, it's an amazing thing, that soul, it's making you conscious all over. And if it's gone, if your friend gets hit by a golf cart on the campus, something really wonderful went away. And so we should find out what that amazing soul is. It's brilliant. It's cognizant. It's vivacious. It's cheerful. It's a wonderful thing that we all have within us. So Lord Chaitanya went all throughout India and said, "Wake up. Wake up, sleeping souls. Just serve the darling of Yashoda, Krishna. This is what the soul is meant to do." And it's very, very happy to be off stage in your original position as a servant of the servant of the servant. You can get rid of all the makeup of being in a dog body and all these other crazy outfits that we put on lifetime after lifetime, and simply just be the person who we really are, which is a servant. Actually, to be always trying to be served is actually very uncomfortable. If you're a Prabhupada disciple, everywhere but here, in Alachua, everywhere but here, you're like, "Wow, okay, yeah, Prabhupada disciple came." And, you know, they roll out the carpet and they, "What do you want? Extra prasad on this and that." But here, it's so nice. You're just regular old devotee, you know. So it's, maybe that's why we're all hanging out here, because we don't have to go through that whole thing, which makes you very uncomfortable. "I want to wash your feet. Can I do something for you? Can I wash your clothes?" You know, it's like, it's very uncomfortable to be served all the time. It's actually so much more comfortable just to be a servant, because that's our real nature. That is a spirit soul, and it's where we should be. And just simply figuring out how in this lifetime we can please Krishna, how we can satisfy Krishna, how we can satisfy Mother Earth, and so many other things, which is our true nature within us. Unfortunately, many of these kings were way off the mark, and they were simply thinking how to exploit. And of course now, more than ever, how can I exploit Mother Earth? And it's actually very scary, because they're doing such a good job of it, that she is pretty uptight these days. So the spirit soul is a beautiful spirit soul. Even in the rattlesnakes and the armadillos, believe it or not, there's a beautiful spirit soul in there. So it's hard for us to see that, but there are many examples in scripture where people actually had that vision where they saw the spirit soul and not just the material body. So that's something that we have to work on, because especially working outside a lot, I run into these critters and it's really hard to see them as a spirit soul. When they're biting you constantly. But the humans are special because we have this big thing on our shoulders, this head and this intelligence, and a lot of responsibility on our shoulders. That somehow or other we have to be here in this material world and balance out the consciousness of having to keep our body and our soul together, but making our priority that I am that servant, that I'm not this position or that position, but actually I'm a servant. So it's very difficult because we do have so many responsibilities and we are put into some pretty reliable, big positions. So we have to keep that vision in mind. And it's very nice because our vision is the same as Prabhupada's. And that is to go around, and like Lord Chaitanya did, is to say, wake up, spirit souls. And it's very satisfying to go out there and see them actually get a little light, a little bit of enlightenment within them, even when you're speaking to them. I was at the Rath Yatra the other day, and I got there a little bit early, and I was talking to some girl, and she said she had just talked to a devotee for a few minutes and thought it was really amazing, the philosophy. And when I was talking to her, explain some philosophy, and she started to cry every once in a while. You could get choked up because you could see it resonating. That there's these people that are in darkness, but every once in a while, by I guess Jagannath's grace, it was like hitting home. It was like, yeah, So it's our mission to go out there, because these people don't want to be in darkness. They don't. No one wants to suffer, but. We have to be there. We have to be there to be able to, pry open their eyelids and give them some books so they can understand that being on this bodily platform is, totally on the body platform, is not healthy for our spirit soul. And these kings and leaders, some of them were actually quite wonderful, as I mentioned here, Prithu Maharaj and so many other great kings did a great service because they were so connected to God. They were Rajarshis. They were godlike themselves. So in our preaching, we have to be careful not to look and kind of back away from the kind of upper class, or a rich class, nicely well-dressed people that you kind of don't want to disturb because they are so covered over and you don't think you're going to get anywhere with them, right? And so you just kind of go to the other people that are easier and that are will probably give you a donation and are more on that spiritual platform. But these kings, these leaders, especially in our society, they need to be awakened. They are so far off the mark. So it is our duty to go beyond that material vision that we have and help them. Just like Lord Nityananda, what did he do? He picked out some real leaders, not good leaders, but they were leaders. They were known, famous, Jagai Maide, right? He said to Haridas Thakur, we got to deliver them. Because if we deliver them, because they're so famous, then we will make the holy name and Lord Chaitanya even more famous. So we should go for the big guns. Also, because we can make Srila Prabhupada very famous and the holy name and this philosophy so famous. Because it does work on everybody. It's so powerful that it can destroy the greatest darkness. It is the prime benediction for all humanity. Now there's a prime, Amazon Prime, right? They come to your door real fast, right? Prime, they give you, not here's Prime, you ordered it 2 hours ago, here it is, right? And you pay $30 to get it there in 2 hours or whatever it is. But we have the prime benediction. We can deliver it right to your door, right in the form of these literatures and books, right? This is the greatest prime that there is. So we can give that to everybody, even if they don't have the money to pay for the extra cost of delivery. We can do it for everybody. And everyone is deserving for it. I remember we had the girls in Sridhar Swami's, the Jolly Swami's, not the one mentioned here, but the Jolly Swami, Sridhar Maharaj's room. About a few weeks before he passed away, we were in Mayapur, and we were visiting and asking him to say something to our girls to enliven them. And while we were talking, he saw somebody go by his room. He saw just the head of him, and he goes, "Oh, that's my bathroom cleaner. He's been my bathroom cleaner for years. He's really a nice guy. I've been to his house. I know his whole family and everybody." And he says, "He's just like everybody else." He says he's a spirit soul. He says, you know, and he's, so it was a nice wake up call that, you know, that everybody is a great devotee, and that we should be sensitive to these people and try to figure out how we can reach them, how we can actually touch their souls. Like we went to the Ocala, the first vegan fest the other day. We'd been to St. Augustine, then went to the vegan fest. And there was, you know, very different group there. They were actually quite receptive. It was amazing how, you know, their diet, I guess, and their contact with veganism and stuff like that is kind of beneficial. They were very, so easy to talk to them. And then I went to the campus yesterday. It was like I had to completely change how I addressed people because they didn't know anything about anything. It was a religious diversity day where if you go around and you talk to all the religions, you get a stamp and then you get a free piece of pizza. So that was why they wanted to come by. You know, they wanted to get their free pizza. So they go, "Oh yeah, you can say something. You can tell me something." But it wasn't like going in. You know, they were like, you know, it was tough. So we just had to change our mood. So we have to be very sensitive that there is a spirit soul, but they're covered with different amount of covering, and so it's very nice to actually go out there and try to touch these souls. So even in Krishna consciousness, we have different positions, you know, like Prabhupada, Saiba, whatever, TP, whatever, different positions, head pujari. We have to be very careful of our getting attached to those positions and setting ourselves up for the big slam that can happen, that we all of a sudden are very high, and those who are highest on the tree, it's farther down, you fall farther, right? So you have to be very careful that you don't get attached to this superior position. As Mother Earth is reminding us here, no position is secure. Ultimately, you're going to be kicked out. So this is something we have to see. We can see it in the political echelons that they are really trying to keep their position secure. Like even now, if you read the news, you know, people are worried that they might get dragged down by this case or this expo or something like that, or else they're worried they might even get killed. You know, so many great leaders have been killed because of envy and wanting to be more supreme than they are. So these persons, and ourselves too, sometimes we pay a big price for that fame and glory. We want to reach the top. But there's so much anxiety in there, so much anxiety, worried about how long will I have office? 2 years, 4 years, maybe 6, 8, 10, how many? You know, I have to keep up there. So this is The wrong ambition, as it's described here. Frustration because of a misdirected ambition. Some of them had the proper ambition, and some of us have the proper ambitions, but sometimes we can go off, and the ambition is to be that best Madonga player, or whatever, to make sure that everyone notices us in the Arctic. So this is also a lesson that we need to take at heart, that we are simply the servant of the servant. And that's why we come to the morning program. I know whenever there was a problem in a temple somewhere, Srila Prabhupada would write a letter. So are the leaders at the morning program? Are the leaders following? Because this is this is what makes a leader a really good leader, and the followers really good followers, is that we are following what Prabhupada said to the T. The program is perfect. Krishna consciousness is perfect, and we can reach that perfection of getting off this bodily platform if we really do everything Prabhupada said. If we're here for Mangal Arati and here worship the Guru 2-3 times a day, we have to remind us who we really are, that we're the servant, of the greatest servant, Srila Prabhupada. And then there's, you know, the japa, making sure that we chant at least 16 rounds every day. How many times do you say that? Are they chanting 16 rounds? If not, you get what you expect, right? You're going to have problems, and you're going to fall into some of these pitfalls. Hearing Bhagavatam, hearing this over and over and over again, we need to hear it over and over again. Regularly, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, regularly hearing Bhagavatam. We can't escape. We can't think that we can do these things and still become Krishna conscious. There's a program, and this is the program, and it does work if we follow it. So it's the responsibility of all of us, because we're all leaders, that we hear Bhagavatam. It's a hit on the head. It's reminding us that who we really are. You know, 6-7 verses saying the same thing over again. It means that it's an important thing. And we don't want to be have Mother Earth shake her finger at us saying that you're just a fool. If you're thinking that you're here permanently, you think that you're great. So we have to hear this properly. And it might take a whole lifetime to adjust to this realization that we are just the servant, and to actually fully surrender, to finally, you know, stick the arm all the way up with the white flag. I surrender, you know, the whole way. To surrender fully, it's not easy to do that. I mean, even some of us have a hard time raising our hands all the way up to glorify the deities here. We get about here. That's about as far as we, especially on cold days, it's really hard to go all the way up, you know. But it's a gradual process, and we are seeing that it'll work. It works. And if we simply, you know, understand that it's worth to surrender to a worthy person. I went around to some of the tables yesterday, and there's no personal God on any of those tables, not one of them. We were across from Ekankar, and what do they chant? Actually, I saw the word in here. Who, H-U, who? They chant who? Who was who? We were discussing on the way home, who was who? Hoo-hoo-hoo-ha-ha. Do you remember that pastime? We were trying to remember who. There's personalities. There were some demigods or something that got cursed or something like hoo-hoo-hoo and ha-ha. Anyway, they chant who, and I don't know why or who they, you know, who is, but anyway, a lot of their philosophy is the same. They believe in reincarnation. The minute we sat down in our books, oh, look, reincarnation. I could hear them saying incarnation, you know, a karma. A lot of it's the same, but somehow or other they got who instead of Hare Krishna. But
I got who.
Okay, who is who? Ha ha. Yeah.
There was a king on the Gandharva planet who said, who? Bongus. Once this king was enjoying with women in the water, and while enjoying, he pulled the leg of Devil Rishi, who was also taking a bath in the water. Upon this, the sage became very angry and immediately cursed him to become a crocodile.
That's right.
King Hu was very sorry when he cursed in that way, and he begged pardon from the sage, who in compassion gave him the benediction that he would be freed when Gajendra was delivered. So that was the crocodile. Mm-hmm. Of Gajendra.
Hare Krishna.
There was no ha. I know there was a
ha. I thought there was a ha ha too.
You sure there's a ha?
We were ha ha and over the hoo hoo yesterday. Anyway, most all the tables, there was no personal God, absolutely none. And so, you know, how can you worship nothing? But anyway, Krishna is so worthy, and this Bhagavatam is so descriptive of Krishna. So we want to pour out our hearts. We want to surrender fully to find out who this person has all of Krishna's pastimes. No ha ha? Yeah, see? Okay. So the worthiness of Krishna is expounded in all these books, and we need to hear it regularly so that we are very happily surrendering this lifetime to Krishna, and that it's easy to give up this false identification and not to be still hankering for more and more positions. Or anything. Actually, Bhojan Prabhu, he was speaking with somebody one time, and they said, oh, I wish I could play harmonium. He goes, stop. As soon as you say, I wish, that means you want to come back again just to learn to play harmonium, right? So as soon as you say, I wish that, don't wish these things. Just be happy with what you have, that this is, you know, I don't want to wish that I could be this position or that position or this talent or that talent or a better body or, you know, just no more wishes, no more hankering. And then there'll be no more lamentation because you'll be with that most wonderful person, Krishna. So it's, we have to stop wishing all these things and realize that we can now steadily go towards Krishna's lotus feet and get out of here. And that means we have to give everything. That's okay. Krishna's going to take it anyway. And it's, we have fun. Actually, in bhakti yoga, it's fun. We get to give everything. We get to give our talents. We get to give our food. We get to give everything to Krishna. We get to give everything back to Mother Earth by using her properly. We've been thieves. Face it. We've been thieves in every direction for so long, and now it feels good to actually give it back. And that's what bhakti is. It is that loving reciprocation of giving back, and at the same time, we get the most wonderful thing, and that's Krishna consciousness. So we should be excited to go out there and give that also to others. So anyone have any questions or comments? Additions? Realizations?
Mother Guti, just a note. Yesterday, Dravida Prabhu was talking about the king of Saudi Arabia or something got deposed recently.
Oh, that he's taken away from all his relatives? Something like that?
The king of Saudi Arabia or something like
that? Saudi Arabia. How he's ripping off his relatives?
Yes, mm-hmm. The prince.
So?
Yeah, well, I was listening to a tape of Prabhupada this morning, which was from March 1975, and he was also mentioning that the king of Saudi Arabia was just recently deposed or killed by his nephew.
Ooh.
So it goes on one after another.
Yeah, it's pretty uncomfortable being in a position like that. You're always worried about who's going to rip you off. Yes.
So, did you at least give prasadam to the hoo-hoo sampradaya?
They had three plates.
Jai. So I was just saying, that's the only thing, with people like that, the only thing you need is, Jai, I like what you're doing, eat this, you know. Here, have a lollipop.
Everyone.
Woo-hoo!
Everyone came by and wanted more and more.
His master, his name was Gopal Das.
Yeah. So close, but so far. Yeah. Anyway, definitely he had a taste for prasadam, that's for sure. And they really liked us. They kept hanging out with us. Anything else? Okay, Manu, with you.
You started about started off with a Kumbh Mela, that we should go to Kumbh Mela, where you feel who are, you know, you're no one. I was reading Indrajumna Maharaj's Traveling Monk. He writes, you know, about whatever. And so apparently just this time, he got lost in the Kumbh Mela. So he had taken a bath in the Kumbh Mela, and then somehow the cars or whatever, they left without him. So it was a real panicky situation, but so he was there, millions of people, didn't know which directions to go. His phone battery, you know, died or something. And then, amazing part was that at one stage, he saw these two devotees from far away or something, and they said, oh, isn't, and he was just in his gumsha, you know, and all wet and everything. So one guy said, isn't that Indrajumna Swami? And the other guy said, no, I mean, it wouldn't be him in that situation. Anyway, it just made me think about that.
Yeah, it's a big place. I went with my daughter, and I was so worried I'd get lost, you know, four-year-old little girl. Yeah, it's big, big program. Yes, Tamara.
Earlier in your class, you talked about no positions or powers.
Mm-hmm.
So I found an excerpt from a purport of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.15.5 rather. This is when Arjuna came back after Lord Krishna left. So Srila Prabhupada wrote, I'll just read the bottom part of that purport. Similarly, the Lord takes away with him all his associates when he disappears from the earth. The power and energy which were bestowed upon Arjuna were required for fulfillment of the mission of the Lord. But when his mission was fulfilled, the emergency powers were withdrawn from Arjuna, because the astounding powers of Arjuna, which were astonishing even to the denizens of heaven, were no longer required, and they were not meant for going back home, back to Godhead. If endowed, endowment of powers and withdrawal of powers by the Lord are possible even for a great devotee like Arjuna, or even the demigods in heaven, then what to speak of the ordinary living beings who are but figs compared to such great souls? The lesson is, therefore, that no one should be puffed up for his powers borrowed from the Lord. The sane man should rather feel obliged to the Lord for such benedictions, and must utilize such power for the service of the Lord. Such power can be withdrawn at any time by the Lord, so the best use of such power and opulence is to engage them in the service of the Lord.
Jai. 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 Jai.